Si usas la frase persona precavida vale por dos, the Colgate Total Active Prevention System is for you. Con una pasta dental reformulada, un cepillo de dientes innovador y un enjuague bucal antibacterial diseñados para trabajar juntos y ser 15 veces más eficaces al reducir el crecimiento de bacterias in just 6 weeks, starting from week one. Compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and flat trim toothbrush, helping you prevent oral health problems like cavities and gingivitis before they start. Cómpralo en shop.colgate.com/total and be dentist ready.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
From RealGhostStoriesOnline.com, welcome to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Group therapy for the paranormally affected.
That's kind of our slogan here at the show, so thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for writing in your stories. Thank you for subscribing to our show. Thank you for all the support that you've been giving us. It helps us a great deal and helps us deliver a better show to you every single day. We put one out here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you've not done so yet, please press that subscribe button. That will definitely help us and help you. You'll get every single episode as they come out, and it helps us climb those charts and helps other folks find out about the show. If you want the bonus episode that we're giving away right now, all you have to do is very simply just give us some love on iTunes. Give us a review there, and then email me the username you used. Email Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and I'll reply back personally with a link to that bonus episode. It's that easy. On today's episode, some more follow-up for Richard in Chattanooga, and a whole bunch of follow-up on a lot of things we've talked about, a whole bunch of calls. You know the drill. That's what we do here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To start out, got a letter from Ed. Ed says, I know you've jokingly mentioned Ghost in a Jar on several of your podcasts.
Yeah.
Which I think could be something that could be marketable and someone could sell it. Well, it turns out someone already is doing this. He actually sent me a picture. It's called My Pet Ghost, and he believes it's a Hallmark product. And it looks like, it's like a fun, friendly, Casper-esque looking ghost in a jar.
Like something a teacher would keep on their desk.
Yeah.
For a decoration.
Pretty much. It's not like, it's not like somebody went into, Amityville and conjured something up and put it in a jar and was selling it.
It's not like the doll lady.
No, it's not like the doll lady selling God knows what spirits. But still, kind of, along the ghost in the jar lines. I mean, because in all seriousness, you're not really going to be able to jar ghosts, but on a cutesy level, somebody already has.
Aww, so, that's cute.
There you go. Ghost in a Jar does already exist. So I thank you for sharing that with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lots of folks have been asking too, you do a lot of follow-up and talking about things from recent episodes and past episodes and such. How do I get in on that with you guys? Well, it's really quite simple. All you have to do is just write into us, and you can either just do it through our website at realghoststoriesonline.com by emailing Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com, or on our YouTube page. Lots of discussion goes on there between a lot of our viewers. So even if you are a listener on iTunes or Stitcher, feel free to join into that discussion on the YouTube channel, because lots and lots of going back and forth and ideas being shared, even outside of the show. We just kind of go through and pick and choose the best we can to put onto the show. But that's where a lot of the discussion is happening off the air. Another letter that we got in. Ty, Tony, and Jenny, really enjoy your show. I listen to it while I'm working. My heart is just breaking for the guy who called in twice, whose home seems to be inhabited by a demonic force. I wanted to say that recently I read a book and I thought of you while I was reading it the whole time. I know you guys would really like it. It's written by Bob Kramer, who's a former political guide in a political figure in Pennsylvania, and it seems to be very credible. When the man who called into your show was telling the story about his home, I really felt in my heart that I should recommend that he reads this book. Bob Kramer also lived in a home with an oppressive force that affected him and his family's mental health, especially his children's. He also had it blessed many times with no changes, but he was determined to claim his home and clear it. The book is all about the battle to reclaim his home. It's a very good read. Could be helpful to your caller. The link for the book is demonofbrownsville.com. So demonofbrownsville.com should take you to the place to get that book. I'm assuming that's the title of the book. Let me just pull up that website here quickly. Yes, the demon of Brownsville Road is the name of the actual book. And Bob Cranmer, I'm sorry, I was saying Kramer. Cranmer is the author. Looks like a good book. Ooh, and Discovery Channel did a little feature, it looks like, a while back on The Exorcist Files. Okay, so there you go. You think it could be a good source for him?
Sure, I
mean,
I think so.
It sounds like it could be someone who went through a similar situation.
Yeah.
At least, so kind of a guide. It says he would also be a great guest on your show. By the way, I don't know the author. Oh, you don't know the author. You just said who the author was.
Maybe it's about Bob Cranmer.
Oh.
But written by somebody else somebody else.
Let me just look on the website. Written by Bob Cranmer, author and homeowner. So, there we go.
Okay.
He is the author and homeowner. Maybe she's just unaware of that. I don't like to sound like a salesman trying to promote a book. Okay, you're not. Just providing some advice. Also wanted to share my humble opinion on something that comes up on your show a lot that might be a different view than has been addressed. I do not believe that children can be lost souls or ghosts wandering the earth. Now, before I explain, I am not discounting stories or people may receive visitations from lost loved ones. I think that's something entirely different. I just cannot believe that a poor child who had died young would eternally be separated from other loved ones and left to roam the earth. How heartbreaking. I really believe that children are innocent and will be taken to heaven to be with God, be healed and with his love from whatever kind of trauma they might experience on earth. When those are stories of little children, especially children from long ago, I feel like it could be a few different things. One, a demon distinguishing itself as a child. Two, some kind of emotional echo from trauma that may have happened. Three, some other mystery that cannot be explained other than the human spirits, which is a misinterpretation of what's really happening. Or guardian angels. Just my opinion. Thought I'd share it because it's a perspective that I have not heard on the show. I'll be writing in to share my mother's stories of living in a haunted home in Covington, Kentucky. I want her to tell it to me afresh so I can relay it correctly before doing so. Thank you so much for the show, you guys. Would love to hear that story. I got to disagree with her on her theory about the kids. It's a messed up, kooky world, is I guess the kindest way of putting it. And I don't think the paranormal world distinguishes or discriminates for or against children. I think children are just as likely as adults to end up being stuck in some sort of state of just being there. I don't think anyone's going and saying, oh, you're so innocent and cute, why don't you go to heaven? Or you're a horrible, evil child, you're going to another place. I think if for whatever reason it is that some seem to pass over and some don't, I think the same happens to kids. And some are left being ghosts no matter what.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Unfortunately. I mean, I would, you know, it'd be nice to believe that, you know, something would go, oh, you're all get a free pass when you're, you know, not tall enough to ride this ride. But I don't think that's how it works.
No.
You know, unfortunately. So, got another letter here about Richard. I have emailed you to before about someone else's problem. And once again, I would suggest this organization for Richard to contact with the haunting problem. I've not had to use it myself, but I've seen one of their priests interviewed, and I was quite impressed with their humble sincerity and wanting to help people, please tell them to contact orderofexorcists.com. That's their website. He can go on their site, and there is a place for him to request help. I believe they can help him, and they have priests and other professionals to help in this area. Sincerely, Michelle King. So I know nothing about that group, worth a shot, maybe?
I think at this point, it's all worth a shot.
I can't endorse it or say, you know, yes or no, but it's another resource for you there, Richard. Landine writes in, oh, holy cow, at the risk of sounding like some type of religious fanatic, which I'm not, by the way, in response to, I played with Ouija boards like forever. Has anyone ever thought, I wonder how many homes, families, people have been infested and not known it? I mean, if a being, a ghost or a demon or whatever else may be among us, has plenty of fear and ugliness already present to feed upon, it wouldn't need to present itself, would it? Think about the abuse that hides in a dysfunctional home already. Drug, alcohol abuse, sexual, mental, emotional abuse that exists. Just pouring out a steady buffet to these things. Kid hears things, sees things. What if mental health facilities are busting at the seams with more haunted possession folks than sick ones? What if? Surely someone else has thought of this, right? It's kind of overwhelming if you really just think about it. Maybe like the movie Constantine. Just saying, what if? Back to the show. Just took a break. Share my two cents.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good bit of two cents there. I could see that being the case in a lot of situations, and it completely gets overlooked and never noticed, and it just tears people apart, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then it goes away, and nobody even thought to go, I wonder if that has anything to do with that Ouija board I played with 10 years prior.
So, yeah, or maybe not until they started listening to our constant rants on it. Do they put two and two together?
Speaking of the Ouija board.
Okay.
Our friend who says the ones at Spencer's are A-okay. The other ones, not so much, but the Spencer's.
They actually wrote that, right?
Those are the word for words. The ones at Spencer's are okay. The other ones, not so much. A response to what we've been talking about here. Okay.
Wow.
Most people are fearful of the Ouija because they hear stories about it before exploring it themselves. It's 50-50 between people who forbid it and people who have fun playing it. Plus, if you do research on it, it actually isn't all that bad as you think. Really? I think you did a little research on this. You can find the answers to anything you want. I mean, if you want to find good Ouija stories, I'm sure you can find good Ouija stories. But I think your overwhelming amount of stories on this topic are not necessarily coming out good. However, beware of old Ouija boards. Never know what bad spirits are actually inside those ones. But yeah, the ones sold at toy stores or Spencer's are pretty fun. I like forcing friends to play it when they spout stories about how bad Ouija boards are. They actually end up having tons of fun.
This person has no idea that it is not the Ouija board itself. It's not like the ones at Spencer's are cleansed and you can use it safely. That's not how it works.
It's not about the history of the board either. I mean, you can make one on a back of a paper bag from Kroger right now, and it will be just as negative as one that you got out of Amityville. You know, it's not the board.
No, it's not the board. The board doesn't hold the spirit. It's not the board. I mean, we see them at the antique mall all the time, and they are no safer or more dangerous than the brand new one at Toys R Us.
It's kind of like saying, well, you know that door frame that was at the prison camp, you know, is much more dangerous than the door frame in your house. The door frame has nothing to do with what's going in and out of that door frame.
Right.
It's the things that are going in and out of the door frame. So, I mean, you could take that door frame from the prison camp, put it in your house. You're not going to suddenly have prisoners in your home. You know, it's just like you're not going to take the door frame out of your home and put it in the prison camp, and everyone's going to be not criminals. It's just a door frame. That's what a Ouija board is. So, I don't know. I'm giving up on that one, on explaining anymore, because I don't think we're going anywhere with it. I think it's a lost cause. So, feel free to call back when you have Lucifer hanging out in the basement, and
yeah,
you can share your stories. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in with your real ghost stories. 855-853-4802. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Kittyland Love Fest in the Chicago area. I was I had called with all the cat ghost stories, and actually the first experience was actually a dog, not a cat, but it was a chihuahua, so she's close enough to a cat. I'm calling today, actually, to tell you about some daytime ghost stories that I've encountered. None of them were creepy or anything, but they were creepy enough because they were ghosts. The first one, I truly believe, was a ghost. I was leaving for work in the morning. It was about 7:30, and we live in what used to be a rural town for Chicago. It used to be farmland, and, of course, it's been incorporated into all the suburbs now, so it's no longer rural. But anyway, I was driving to work, and I saw this, it's a Polish town, and I'm Polish, so I saw this, looks like a busha walking down the street. Busha is Polish for grandmother. Somebody's little busha, you know, short woman, you know, the sturdy shoes, heavy stockings, long coat, long overcoat, you know, like down below the knees, and a babushka, some kind of colorful babushka. And she's walking along. I'm coming up behind her, and I noticed as I pass her, you know, she's got this long switch, probably about 3 to 4 feet long. She's got a switch with her. And I'm looking, I'm driving past her, and then after I pass her up, I'm wondering, where the hell is she going? Because there's nowhere for her to go. It was like heading into this field from where all the houses were. And I look back, and she's gone. There's no one there. So I was talking to the neighbor about it, and she got a silly look on her face, and she said, oh, you have to tell my friend. So I tell her friend what I see, and she was startled. She was surprised. She said, you saw my grandmother. You saw my busha. And I said, well, what was she doing with the stick? She said she was going out to get the cows. She used to do that every morning. They lived in that area, that's where she lived, and she would go out to get the cows in the morning to milk them. That was the first experience. The second experience I had was actually in the city, in the city of Chicago. I was driving down the street, relative side street kind of, and there was along the whole sidewalk on the right side was this long brick wall, not a building, but just a long brick wall, a brick fence actually is what it was ultimately. And this woman, now this is mid to late August in Chicago a couple of years ago, so it's hotter than Katie and humid, hotter than hell. And I see this woman, I'm assuming it was a woman, dressed in all black. Well, my first impression was that it was a woman in one of those burkas where you just have to look through the slits for the eyes. And my immediate thought was, holy crap, she's going to melt because it was ungodly hot. And I'm looking at her, and then I'm looking closer, and it seems to be wider at the top and like a draping coming down, all black still. And I'm trying to figure out, what the hell is she wearing? But I'm continuing to drive. And so I pass her off. And then I'm looking in the mirror trying to figure out still what she's wearing. And she's gone. Now, there were cars parked alongside there. She may have gotten into a car, but it would have been awful quick. You couldn't maneuver that kind of clothing to get into a car that quick. And there were no doors along the wall, nothing. It was a solid brick wall. And as I'm driving along farther, I see a placard on the side of the wall where it's a cemetery. My impression when I read that it was a cemetery was she was wearing like late 1800s mourning wear. Whether that's what it was or not, I don't know. But I'd rather think that it was a woman in mourning than some black, ugly black thing, just black spirit thing walking down the sidewalk. So, well, those are my two daytime experiences, and I think we probably do see more ghosts if you're sensitive. You do see more during the daytime, and you just don't realize it. So, well, that's my story. I have more to tell, so I'll call back later. Thanks a lot. Bye.
That was a good story.
That was a good story.
I could see that being rather confusing, and that's always weird when you think you see something and then you are not quite sure if it was something paranormal or not, and you're just kind of left with, I don't know. It does add to more questions, though, when you come across it as being right by a cemetery. I could see that being rather troubling. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in if you have a real ghost story. 855-853-4802. Boyce writes in, and this is, I believe... Yes, this is the woman who wrote in the other day and said that she, when she dies, she has a sense of humor about it.
The elephant?
Elephant.
Suit.
Wants
okay.
to be buried in the elephant suit. She said, I lived for 19 years on a farm, and it's best not to name animals that you plan to slaughter. It taints the flavor of the meat. Yes, that sounds odd, but I think you know what I mean. So...
I like that.
However, it pays to develop a close relationship with such animals as herding dogs, guard dogs, and horses on whose backs you'll be riding as you are rounding up cattle. It is virtually impossible to become friends with barn cats as they're nearly feral. But I can honestly say that I have deeply loved some of my dogs, one border collie in particular. As for animals such as dairy cattle, it can go either way. If you have a large-scale operation, sheer volume will prevent any type of closeness. But if you're keeping only one milk cow for the family or have a small micro dairy, you almost can't help but develop a closeness to them. But they can also depend, it can depend on the breed. We kept only a few Jerseys and milk them by hand. And I might add, Jerseys stay around for a long time. Our neighbor had a full-scale dairy operation and kept Holsteins. Holsteins are bred for large bags with little time spent building the legs to support those bags and are therefore only good for production for a few years. With the volume and lack of time spent with them, there's little to no relationship developed. However, my sense of humor, twisted as it might be, lent itself to need to name my chickens. I raised Dominickers. They are a large breed, good for their meat, but also fairly prolific laying hen. You usually kill the pullets for the meat, so again, little time to develop a relationship. That's why I named them things like fried and dumplings and noodles and cordon bleu and, of course, fricassee. On occasion, you can also have a Kiev and a Parmesan on the farm. Some of my neighbors suffered some form of trauma as children, which prevented their sense of humor from developing properly, and found my choice of names for the chickens not so very funny. Those are the neighbors I look forward to haunting in my elephant costume after I die. I think it would be a wonderful if my dog, Bocephus, joined me, possibly dressing as a penguin.
I like her. That's funny.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
She's great.
She is.
I like that idea of naming the animals. I had a dog I named Broccoli Beef once.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm not even making that up.
Yep.
And no, we didn't eat it. I just thought it would be a funny name for a dog. Broccoli was kind of just, it was just kind of a funny name for a dog. And then it was like, oh, is it a middle name? And I blurted out Beef.
God, I hadn't thought about her in a long time.
Broccoli Beef. That was a rambunctious animal.
She had so much energy. She just needed time spent with her, and it was just not happening at the time.
That was an interesting animal. Another letter that says, hey, Tony, the subject of ghost trains and cars, perhaps the people are seeing something that some people call a time slip. Some scientists think that it's over time is overlapped and occasionally rifts or tears into the fabric of time, and it could appear... And one could actually see into the past or the future. Love your show, and I'll try to send my ghost stories and other encounters of the paranormal to your email as I don't Facebook or iTunes. Thank you. You guys rock.
That's an interesting thought.
I've heard of that concept before. That's interesting. I've heard of... what is it? Where is that patch of airspace where people continually... Is it over the Bermuda Triangle?
It is. Okay. It's over the Bermuda Triangle.
There's been stories of folks who've gone through that, suddenly ended up over pieces of land. Like, suddenly they're over Florida or over Cuba or something.
Right.
And they were not anywhere near there. And, like, we're talking, like... over 10 minutes of time where it should have been like an hour or two before they got there. Suddenly they go through it and bam.
Right.
When they go through some of these weird cloud-type portals. I've heard stories of that sort of thing happening where it's not just bam, they're over land. I've heard of bam, they've landed and they've been in different times.
Oh, wow.
Like back in time.
Really?
And they take back off once they realize there's something not right. Head back to where they came from. I think it was like an Unsolved Mysteries or something once. But I've heard of those sort of stories. I don't know how legitimate they are. But
you know, I've always wondered, you know how Flight 19 disappeared?
Is that the one that that was earlier this year that everyone seemed to pretend to care about and then suddenly disappeared?
No, I think it was Flight 19. Let me Google it real quick. It was, let's see. Yeah, Flight 19. It was five Avenger torpedo bombers that disappeared.
Oh, yes,
Triangle. I've always wondered if possibly they somehow went to a different time, you know, because the odds of five of them all disappearing at the same time, something happening to all five of them, is just like astronomical, the odds of that. And never finding anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. So I've always wondered if that might have been what happened.
Didn't they play that up in like the Close Encounters movie?
They did
later,
at the very beginning.
Years later.
Yeah. Yep.
That's funny. But yeah, it's an interesting interesting observation on like the ghost train idea. Let's go to another call before we go to another one of our follow-ups here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in. If you have a real ghost story, we would absolutely love to share it.
Hey, good morning, Tony. Good morning, Jenny. Can't forget you. This is Tim Z from Wilmington. I almost feel like apologizing for calling so much. I'm actually trying not to. I don't want to overdo it or overstay my welcome, but I was just listening to an episode. I listen to almost every single episode here at work. I work on a golf course. But I'm just listening to the Shadow Plagued by Shadow People episode, and you just read a story of a caller. Well, it was more of a comment, not really a story, but from Rochester, New York, which is where I spent the first 20 years of my life, and talking about Mount Hope Cemetery. And actually, I was kind of just, because I heard of where the caller was from, and I know that cemetery, my memories just started going while the story was going, so I have to go back and actually listen to it. But I think they were just saying that it's a good place. They like to go. They like to take walks or whatever. So, but what I was just thinking, and it kind of almost gave me, not chills, but it just made me stop and actually call you and share this idea with you. But I commented, it was the call I had when I had such a terrible migraine, and I was calling about the call from heaven, which turned out to be a telemarketer with all the zeros after the one. That's what was on the phone, the readout. But that's where my mom, my mom passed away in a hospital. If you may remember, she was in a coma, and actually passed away in the hospital. But what I'm getting at is I spent a lot of time looking out her window, which overlooked Mount Hope Cemetery. And it was a crazy snowstorm that came up through, and I've been living in the South for 20 years, so I just wanted to take pictures of the snow and, you know, snowy landscape, how much it had been snowing and that stuff. But what I'm thinking is I want to go back and look at those pictures and just see. It's a long stretch, I know, but just see if I happen to see any orbs or anything weird in that picture or in those pictures. I know I took, I don't know, maybe a half dozen, but it was literally from the hospital room where my mom was staying while she was in the coma and looking down on Mount Hope Cemetery. So it's just kind of a weird thought, and thought you might be intrigued by it. I will try to go back and look at those pictures. There is a picture I do want to go back and dig up, and then I'll look at it and tell you the story again, but something that there is an orb in, and it was at my dad's when he was getting married again after my mom had passed. So an orb in that picture while they're walking down the aisle, But thanks, Tony. Thanks, Jenny. Appreciate what you're doing, and look forward to hitting pause and getting back to the episode. See you guys.
What do you think the orb means when he's walking down the aisle? Is it the other wife going, get away from him? Or is it you go be happy?
I'm betting there's an extra guest at the wedding.
Yeah.
Who's probably there actually. I would imagine since she had passed that it was a I'm happy for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I would, if something happened to me, I would want you to go on and find somebody else. So I can only imagine that most other sane people want their significant other to be happy.
To be happy and not miserable. And
right.
Would you want to be the orb? Would you show up as an orb, though?
I think...
Could you try and do a full-body apparition if we ever end up in this situation?
If I showed up in a full-body apparition at your wedding to whoever you're getting married to after I'm dead, there's no way you'd be married that day, is there?
That would be pretty creepy.
You wouldn't be able to do it.
That'd be awesome.
So I would not do that to you.
Okay.
I think it'd be too hard. I wouldn't want to
watch
that.
How about you
that.
Just stay alive until, like, we're really old and I'm like, physically incapable of marrying anyone else?
I'll see what I can do
it's
about
just
that.
Like, oh, he's down in the hall watching reruns of some show called Frasier that was on, like, you know, way back in the 90s.
Yeah, we'll see what we
can
do.
We had to hook up this thing called a DVD player for him to watch it, and it's just, it's messed up. He gets really cranky and he throws cats at people. If he, anywho, and another thing about I wanted to come on his call. I'd love to see those pictures. It's going to be difficult to pick out orbs in a snow picture, though.
Well, he didn't say it was snowing. That there was just snow on the ground.
Okay, because that's something that can. Snow is a difficult thing when you're taking pictures in. Because it's very easy, and maybe it is just snow on the ground. Just throwing it out there. If there is, it is snowing. That's a difficult. It's very difficult because it's so easy to go, well, that doesn't look like snow. This is, you know, what is this or that? And that can be a lot of mind tricks on you when it is, in fact, just snow.
Well, I remember somebody that caught some orb pictures in the snow. I do. Your parents, when they took. When they took Olivia to the park in Fond du Lac, you and I were out somewhere. I don't remember where we were, but they took her at night even, and it was snowing. They took her to see the lighthouse and the Christmas display that first time we went up there.
Okay.
And they took some pictures that had, like,
really?
Some orbs in it.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
I remember the picture that my mother took shortly after my grandpa passed, and there was an orb right above Olivia.
Yeah, that was just in April, though.
Yeah.
No, this was way back the first time we went up. This was right after we got married, like, in 2010, so.
I don't remember that picture.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see it. Do you have it, or does she
have
it?
I don't have it. Okay. You'll have to ask her.
Yeah. I'll check that out. 855-853-4802. Another person writing in through YouTube saying, I live close to Pilgrim State in Kings Park. Pilgrim State is in Brentwood, but we have another old abandoned psych hospital 10 miles away in Kings Park, with rundown buildings identical to Pilgrim State. Kings Park was basically Pilgrim State's sister site. When I was a kid, both hospitals were still partially up and running. Jeffrey Dahmer stayed at Kings Park for a bit. We grew up hearing horror stories about these hospitals from people who worked in them. Patients would scream at us when we cut through the grounds to get uptown or to our middle school quicker. It's miles wide with many buildings. The top floors were for the dangerous patients, but many patients would be released during the day. Many would wander around town rambling and cursing. We carried knives just in case. There's long tunnels under them with things like chains on the walls. As teenagers, we used to dare each other to go investigating, and it is the creepiest place I've ever seen. We always heard strange noises and felt like we weren't alone. I've searched caves and old buildings in Iraq with bloody rape beds on the floor and whatnot, which were less creepy. Because of asbestos, it's cheaper for the state to let both hospitals rot, so all ideas over the past two decades of what to do with them never made it to the drawing board. They're over a century old, and psychiatry was very inhumane even up into the 50s. You can imagine the horrible things that went on there, the thousands of broken lives that passed through both hospitals.
That's very interesting.
And I've looked up some of those pictures online. That's a creepy looking building, and it's like a towering building. It kind of reminds me of the one that was in Traverse City that's now been turned into, what the hell is it, like the Traverse City Commons or something.
Yeah.
Something happy and benign and nice restaurant and shopping and never mind these things on the wall that once held chains.
Yeah.
Here, have some foie gras. I do want to go there again, though, and see that place. I mean, not stay there. I don't know if you can stay there or not. I don't know if it's been made into hotel rooms yet.
Yeah.
But it's a huge complex. But it looked similar. Because I showed you pictures of that one. It looked similar
sure.
to that. So, creepy nonetheless. I can't imagine anything really good ever coming out of any building like that. You know, I understand repurposing buildings. I love the idea of repurposing buildings and giving them some sort of new life. But I don't know. It almost just seems kind of wrong with some of those buildings.
It does. And, you know, I understand what she was, but I don't know if it's a she or he, but what they were saying mm-hmm. on that about with the asbestos, the cost to get rid of that.
It's more than just tearing the building down and building a new one.
It's
yeah.
ridiculous. So
somehow the one in Traverse City got around that, or they didn't have asbestos. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just pre-asbestos. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because if that one in Traverse City was abandoned, you know, before.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Because that
if I remember right, I think it like operated up into the early 80s.
Oh,
so
really?
That would tell me asbestos was there. Or someone wealthy came in and just took, or maybe it was accessible enough to get the asbestos out. I don't know. Mm. But again, it's just buildings like that with so much energy and so many, just for what we know of what, you know, psychiatric care was
right
when those buildings were in their heyday. Those were not happy facilities. Those were not good places. So, I don't know. I got issue with it kind of turning into happy-go-lucky artisan shopping land.
I agree.
I'm not saying don't do it, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't like the idea. I don't think I'd be comfortable going there to have a nice sit-down meal.
Yeah.
I don't want to go enjoy shopping time at the asylum. I just don't find that sounding like a good time to me. Yeah. It's not relaxing.
Interesting. 855-853-4802 if you have a real ghost story that you would like to share with us. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. Good morning or good afternoon or good evening, wherever I guess the recording happens to take place. This is Joe, the demonologist and minister. Quick story. I had my mother pass away 7 years ago, which grieved me immensely. Anyways, the morning that she passed away, I fell asleep really quickly, and I woke up in a dream in the house, and she was sleeping in the chair. I mean, I'm sorry. She awoke in the chair, like she just, you know, because she passed away, looked like she was in a deep sleep and confused. And she was in this old dress she used to wear, sort of. And anyways, I went to say, Mother, are you okay? And she says, of course I'm okay. Why wouldn't I be? And then I woke up. I think that was an acknowledgement to me. Also on the same story, a month later, I was at the house. Me and my wife were leaving, talking to my stepfather. And we left the door ajar and went around the corner of the house. And we're talking and we heard the door slam. No wind, nothing. It shouldn't have shut. Examining the door, it was completely shut. And we left. And my stepfather called an hour later and he came back from weeding the yard and the door was open. We had three cats at the time. Two of them were at the doorstep and the other one was looking out. My mother had a pet peeve of leaving the door open because of her cats. So, and that's never happened before. Anyways, along the same topic as far as with entities changing clothing, there's a brewery in California. It escapes me at the moment. Anyways, it was Lady in Blue. And there was a woman that actually showed her a different type of dress. And then the next time she appeared, she was in a different dress. So the entity acknowledged and had intelligence of what it was observing. And there was another individual that you were talking about, a young man and his family that needs help. Please have them contact us. We will help them. We will help them get rid of it. And doing cleansings, I think the big and most important thing nowadays is, since we know it's demonic, they must acknowledge that Christ is the ultimate way of getting rid of it. And that's what we do. And it has worked successfully every time. And Jenny, I applaud you in getting that type of degree and helping people also maybe with that type of top. Because as you know, there's young people growing up that were severely affected by these hauntings. And by them expressing it and getting acknowledgement that they are indeed sane and credibility is very important, and they can heal and move on. And another thing too, when the demonic entities attack people, they do it first on a psychological level. And the reason why they appear to most of these people is to scare them. And by scaring them, they're not going to have time to focus or think. So it's almost like a psychological warfare that's going on. So first in terrorism that they do, they psychologically affect them, and then comes the physical attack afterwards. So anyways, enjoy your show. I hope I didn't ramble on too much. But anyways, you guys are awesome. Keep up the good work, and I think you have my information. Please have these people call us. We do not charge anybody, and I'm here 24/7. So anybody in the middle of the night needs to talk to me, all they do is call my number, and I will respond and talk to them. And it's confidential. We don't judge. We help. All right, guys. Thank you again, and I will call in again with another story. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, and I do have his number. I'm not going to give it out here in the middle of the show, sir. But Richard, if you are listening, because Richard has called in so many times. So Richard, if you'd like that information, I'd be happy to give it to you. Just email me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And I will, I'll get you hooked up with his contact number so you can reach out to him. But you do need to email me directly, because I don't want to just give his number out here, like I said, on the air.
I'd like to have Joe on the show.
Yeah, I think he'd be a really good guest to have on, you know, because we talk about these things so frequently. It's always good to have some expert insight into this for folks who've actually worked in the field and have seen some of these things firsthand. You know, from start to finish, and everything in between, you know, for lack of a better term. But thank you for calling in, and please do continue to call in and share your stories. And that goes for everybody who calls in. You're never wearing out your welcome. I'll say that. We always appreciate your stories. As long as they're real, we're happy to hear them.
Exactly.
I don't want people to start making up stories just to get on the air. But if you got some real stories, we would love to hear them. You can call in as frequently as you would like. 855-853-4802 is, of course, that phone number to call in with your real ghost story. Jenny writes in, hi, my name is Jenny. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A lot of weird experiences living in a haunted house, but the one I'm going to share with you today is about the house my sister moved into in 2000. Things first started with my nephew, who was a little over a year old at the time, waking up every night around the same time screaming. No one could figure out why. As he started to get older, he started talking about his friend, Peter. Our family knew no one named Peter. My nephew would talk about the two of them playing in his room together. We didn't think too much about it. You know, children and their imaginations. Then we started to see and hear strange things, like toys moving in the toy box. The bathroom door would open and close repeatedly with no one upstairs, and my sister's bed sliding across the floor. Then about a year later, my nephew suddenly stopped talking about Peter. When we asked why he didn't talk about Peter anymore, he said Peter was mean to him, and he doesn't want to play with Peter anymore. He then said he didn't like the eyes that watch him from the closet. Once a year, about the same day and time every year, we would hear a woman screaming in the house. We finally asked a psychic to come out to the house, someone we knew personally, but knew nothing about the house or our experiences in it. She walked in the door, immediately looked at the top of the steps, and said, "Who is he?" We asked who she was talking about, to which she replied, "The little boy. He's right there." She went upstairs and straight to my nephew's room. She told us He hides in the closet and watches. We then asked about a woman we heard. She told us that it was the boy's mother screaming from when she found her son dead in his room. He had apparently been very ill for some time and succumbed to his illness. The psychic then asked us if my nephew woke up crying. We said yes, to which she said, "That's the boy, Peter, who is waking up the baby." She told us to repaint the room and that should help. Now, when my sister moved in, it was already painted blue with a kid's border around the room, and we thought it was perfect at the time. We did fix the room after the psychic suggested that, and after that, Peter left my nephew alone. That was until my niece, who had a lot of medical issues, when she came along. She was in and out of the hospital often and was required to be on a feeding tube that would feed her all day. And at night, she would get hooked up to her pump in her room. We would constantly find her pump unplugged or her tube unplugged from the pump. It would drop her blood sugar. Another day, we came back to my sister's house from some shopping, and as we pulled up to the house, we could see every window and her front door were opened. We called a neighbor to come over to check out the house for us. After he searched the home, we found no one was inside and nothing was missing. On another occasion, my sister and her husband were arguing, then suddenly the paint on every door just fell and hit the floor as if someone scraped it all off at the same time. Another day, we stopped at her house to pick up bathing suits for the kids. She went in the back door. I stayed outside. Just happened to look up in her kitchen window. There was a man with long, curly, dark hair and a mustache. Could not have been my sister. She has short, blonde hair. I ran to the door and yelled to her to get out of the house. Someone was in there. She came running out immediately, called the neighbor again. He came right over and searched the house, but again, he couldn't find anything or anyone. Then I remembered her counter and sink were under the window, but this guy's face was very close to the window, close enough to see the mustache and the details of the curls in his hair. It was impossible for anyone to get that close to the window. They continued living in that house until 2005, but before they moved out, my friends, my husband, and myself did an investigation there and captured some interesting things on camera. I'd love to send you some of the images we captured, but unfortunately, I cannot figure out how to attach them in this program. If you can tell me the easiest way to submit the photos, I'd love for you to see them. Well, you email them to us, because she's just sent it in through her form. There's no real attachment option there. So you can email them by going just emailing Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, and then we can put those images up in our gallery section.
So the woman screaming every year at the same time, is that like the residual energy that replays over and over?
That one sounds like it is, but it sounds like these other things are very conscious.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like there's a few things going on there.
It sounds like there's a lot that's involved in that house, and not all of it sounding all that good. I mean, when you have something that's actively trying to harm the child, I mean, if you're pulling feeding tubes out and unplugging things that are there to keep her alive, I mean, I suppose that could be a mischievous, not good person, or it could be something demonic. I mean, I guess I want to hesitate in going automatically demonic. You would think that would be the case, but it could just also be a real asshole ghost.
Here's what I was thinking when I heard that. A lot of times when you bring a new kid home, mm-hmm. the kid that lives there already, you know, the sibling, will do things to it out of either
spite
or jealousy.
Yeah.
It almost kind of reminded me of that, of like, oh, there's a new kid here. Well, I'm going to do what I can to make little sister go away.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't related, you know.
Yeah, and if you're a little kid in life, I mean, you're not necessarily... A little kid probably really wouldn't understand necessarily how important that feeding tube is.
Sure.
Or how important it is to keep those things plugged in. A human little kid would not. And if you're assuming you're on the same intelligence level in death, if you're a ghost kid, you wouldn't understand that either. And it may not necessarily be as dark as it may be coming across as pulling a feeding tube out. It may just be a mischievous kid exactly like you just said.
Well, and two, the other side of that is that, you know, if the child's being hooked up to a pump that operates through the night, you know, that's an electrical thing, you know, and we know that sometimes they are attracted and like to mess with or you know, with electrical things. So it might just be out of curiosity that that's happening instead of malice.
Sure. I think that makes a lot of sense because it was hard to get a read on what it was, if it was something dark or, you know, exactly what you just said.
Now, the man with the mustache and the curly hair, I don't know who that is.
That just sounds creepy.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's Ghost to Catch a Predator. That's where you need to get Chris Hansen in there.
Yeah.
And so, you are haunting. Why don't you sit down and have a little bit of sweet tea with us? And what's in that pocket of yours? Are those ghost condoms?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
855-853-4802 is the phone number to call in with your real ghost stories. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny Brewski. My name is Matthew, and I live in Denver, Colorado. I wanted to start by saying that I love the show. I love your guys' insight on the paranormal and ghosts and all that good stuff. My ghost story started when I was visiting Riverside Cemetery here in Denver, Colorado. Now, Riverside Cemetery is one of the oldest cemeteries in Denver, Colorado, one of the oldest historical cemeteries in Denver, Colorado, aside from Fairmont Cemetery. Fairmont is another cemetery in Denver, Colorado. It's the biggest cemetery the side of the Mississippi River. But anyway, back to Riverside Cemetery. I was visiting there, and I was walking through looking at all the old graves. And I was standing there, and I got this strong scent of an old lady's perfume. It was so strong, you know, and nobody was in the cemetery at the time. I was the only visitor in the cemetery, except for the people who operate the cemetery, that they were in the office. I was way out in the cemetery, just wandering the cemetery. And anyway, I was standing there. I just got this strong scent of old lady's perfume. I don't know where the hell it came from. There's nobody else in the cemetery. I was the only one there. So, but it only lasted for about maybe a few seconds, and then it went away. But I just thought it was really strange because I was the only one there. But anyway, I know it's not necessarily a ghost story, but I just thought it was really strange that that happened. So. But yeah, that was kind of a strange experience for me. You know, Riverside is very, very old. It was founded in 1876 with more than 67,000 people buried there, including 1,000 veterans, and most of them were Denver pioneers from pioneer times. But yeah, I mean, that's my story, you know. And as far as the whole ghosts and demons thing go, you know, I'm a Christian, and I was brought up to believe that there was no such thing as ghosts, only demons pretending to be loved ones who have passed away. And in order to trick us, they pretend to be somebody who we loved. But I don't believe that to be the case at all. I believe that there are good spirits, bad spirits, angels, demons, and I also do believe that there is purgatory. But yeah. So, but please keep up the great work. I love the show. And I do have some more stories I'd like to share with you, but they're from my sister. So she has a lot of stories from back in her day. So if you want me to, let me know if you want to hear them or not. I love the show. Keep on doing what you're doing. It's great. I also wanted to comment in on the whole Ouija board deal. Some people say, oh, well, it's just a game. It's harmless. That's not the case, because my sister played with one, and it is not a game. You are opening a door to, and you don't know what the hell you're letting in. It's not a game. Don't even try it. Even if the slightest curiosity, you might as well be playing with fire, because that's what it is. So, but anyway, love the show. And Tony, I had a question for you. I know a couple episodes ago you were talking about Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. But there's another show I watched that's kind of similar to Unsolved Mysteries. It's called Beyond Belief, Factor Fiction. I don't know if you've ever seen the show before, but it's pretty similar. It has a bunch of weird stories, and it's your call to see if they're fact or fiction. So the show ran from 1997 to 2002. It's my favorite TV show, and it's still on today. So, but thanks for taking my call. I love the show. I'm subscribed, and I've told some other people about it. So thank you. Bless you.
Thank you for the call and sharing your stories. And yes, you are always welcome to call in and share more of your stories. And yes, we would love to hear more of them. I do remember that show.
That was my Unsolved Mysteries. That was the one we sat down on Friday nights, yeah. Had pizza, and watched. I loved that.
Was it a Friday night show?
It was for a while, and then I think it changed. It was like a Sunday night show, too.
That's how I remember it. I remember it being a Sunday night show back, way back. Like, it was Erie, Indiana. Type.
Yeah,
that when that was a show,
yeah,
it was like that was on. Erie, Indiana was on, and there was some X-Files other.
X-Files was on.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was a great block of fun programming.
It was. I loved that show, and it was amazing to me how many times I was wrong. You know, because I was like, "Oh, surely that can't be true."
You got to pick, because that was a tough one. Because
yeah.
Sometimes it was easy to pick it out. It was usually the ones that you would really least expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very good show. I would love to find it. Wonder if that one's like on Netflix or something like that.
I don't know. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that would be a good one to. And that one was one that wasn't too crazy or scary.
Well,
like we could watch it with our kids.
Well, sometimes there were some ghost ones I think would scare the kids. There were others that that weren't, that might be okay, but I don't know. I remember being in high school and I loved it.
Yeah. Be worth looking into to see if we can find that. One more letter before we wrap things up. Joanne writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love your show. I'd like to share my story with you. Started when I was 18. Not a happy home. I never wanted to be there. My stepdad was big trouble. So this one day at about 21:30 at night, I was still out at a friend's house. My mother and teenage sister were at home when they noticed a young girl outside our front gate looking lost. After a while, there was a knock at the door. The two dogs started to go nuts. Mother went to get to the door, and at once my mother could see that the child was wearing a white nightdress and had bare feet and must have been about 5 or 7 years old with long blonde hair. My mother asked if she could help. The child then asked, 'Where is Joanne?' My mother said she didn't know. And the dogs went nuts again. My mother turned to check the dogs. When she turned back, the girl was gone. I think the message was more for my mother, as my mother said she didn't know where her children are. My mother didn't care where her children are. Years later, when I was 29, I started work in a care home for old people. I was working alone. But at 2100 hours, I was tucking a lady into bed when she asked me who the child was standing next to me. I said, never mind, miss, get to sleep. Then I walked to the other end of the unit to check another lady. Must have been about a 20-second trip. I entered the room and paddled away a table for her bed so I could be closer to her. And as I said goodnight to her, she said, 'That's a pretty little girl with you.' I felt love and a strange charmness around me. She was then seen again a week later as I helped a lady into a chair who could also see her. I asked this lady, 'What did the child look like?' She said, 'She's about 6 or 7, blonde hair, white dress. Sounds like the very same child who came to my house all those years ago. I've never seen her, though, at least not yet. I wonder if she's taking care of me. Thank you for reading my story.'"
That sounds more like a guardian angel kind of thing to me.
Yeah, or could it be a ghost child? You know, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
And the person who wrote the letter didn't want to believe that they existed, but could it be a ghost child who found a relationship or found comfort following this person around? And kind of becomes a guardian angel, you know, but at the same point... you know, the human is almost, without her knowing it, there for the ghost as much as a ghost could be there for the human.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just a thought. It's an interesting observation. And interesting, we've been talking about hospice homes and nursing homes, where people tend to, or the residents, from what we've gathered in many, many stories, tend to have a bit more vision of seeing the other side than us young folks do.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. I find that interesting.
And that multiple people in that same home, it was just one person or someone who was necessarily about to die.
Right.
All saw the same person. Mm-hmm. That's very, very interesting. I guess the lesson is when you go ghost hunting, you need to bring elderly people with you.
That's not nice.
You need to make ghost hunting more accessible to the wheelchair bound.
Okay.
Now, seriously, if I'm old and I discover I'm seeing more dead people, or I'm more sensitive and I'm able to be open to that, I'd be all about ghost hunting more frequently. I think that could be really interesting.
I don't know.
Every ghost hunting crew is going to run out there and try and recruit someone from a nursing home.
You know what I worry about? I don't want to get into ghost hunting or anything because...
I don't want anything following you.
That, and I wonder how much they network. I know this is going to sound silly, but how much ghosts talk, you know? And if we're helping people, they're going to get mad at us.
Like, oh, those are the people who are trying to figure out what we're doing.
And, yeah. Their battle cry will be, remember Dish Lady. So.
I don't know. I'm intrigued by the ghost hunting folks, and I applaud the folks who go out there and do it. But I don't really want to get too involved in that. I mean, it's one thing if, you know, to go around on a ghost tour or a walk every now and then. But I've never been one to go, yeah, I really want to camp out at that place with all these detectors all night and go into the asylum and catch things. I think you're open. Again, I think it's almost Ouija-ish.
Yeah.
If you will. You know, I think, because a lot of times you are asking for them to come out and speak, and you're using a different device. You may not be using a Ouija board. You're using whatever the hell you're using. And we're going to get coming at you. And a lot of times, and I've heard it too from some, you know, cases of ghost hunters where they'll follow you back home. And there's been torment in a lot of people's lives who are really big into that profession. And the darkness that can surround them from being so into it.
I don't have any desire to go ghost hunting, not because I'm a big chicken, which I am, but because I don't have any doubt that there's ghosts out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I'm not going to go to the mall to verify there's people.
Yeah, or verify that there's stores.
Yeah.
Although sometimes, depending on the mall, you do need to do that to go, oh, there are still stores in this mall.
But yeah, I don't feel the need. I get much more out of it hearing people's stories and helping them with what they're dealing with.
I'd rather just kind of be the facilitator of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, is what we're doing now, rather than jumping out there.
Yeah.
Into it. It's more interesting, you know?
We're kind of like football commentators. We don't need to be playing the game to get a lot of out of it.
Yeah, I 100% completely agree. All right, that does it for today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you have a real ghost story, please share with us. Phone number is 855-853-4802. We would absolutely love to hear it. Share the show on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Pin the episodes. It helps us grow a lot. And, of course, if you want that bonus episode, we'd love to give it to you. Just give us a positive review there on iTunes. Email me back, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. With your username, what you used, and I'll reply back with the bonus episode for you. That's how it works. So until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No